we're all in it together.
Yeah.
It's not like this virus is only affects certain people. It affects us all in one way or another. And so by coming together, you know, we come out of it stronger.
Welcome to the Winning E-Commerce Experience Show, where it's all about creating a brand that your customers love so they keep coming back. This show is brought to you by DataQ. Your store experience begins with your homepage. DataQ improves your conversion rate up to 30% by showing each visitor a personalized homepage based on their interest. And now, your host, Shyam Enver.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our next episode. So today we have a very special guest. We've got Steve Pritchard. He's a managing director of It Works, not to be confused with IT Works Media. So they're a marketing agency based in Leeds in the United Kingdom, and they do a lot of work around SEO. So today, I think, especially with the background of COVID and this big crisis, I think a lot of e-commerce merchants are wondering how their digital marketing strategy should be changing. So we're very excited to have Steve on the show. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So why don't we just start off by telling us a little bit about It Works and the origin story? Why did you start the company?
Yeah, sure. I'd been in doing SEO agency side for about 8 years, and it was very technical. I'm a techie kind of guy. I'm IT before I got into this industry. But one thing that was quickly becoming apparent was that customers were our own clients were becoming a little more savvy. Technology was getting better. And really what was kind of missing from search engine optimization was we were optimizing for the search engine and not the customer. And what we saw was really long text, you know, really, really boring stuff that wasn't really engaging, but it ticked a box for the search engine. And we set up It Works purely to focus on, let's take that approach to optimization, but apply it to the customer and look at what is it the customer wants to read? What is it the customer wants to buy? What devices do they want to use to buy? And work with our clients on delivering SEO campaigns that tick those boxes, and also conversion rate optimization to help the customer in their purchase journey. And since we set up in August 2012, we've worked with some really fantastic clients delivering exactly that. So less about search engine optimization and more about customer experience. Because if we focus on the customer experience, the search engines will come. They'll like the content because it's right. Been engaged with, it's been shared. They like the platform because it's easy to navigate. And we tick all the boxes. And I think it's an approach which is slowly being delivered by other clients, by other agencies now. Mm-hmm. But we were doing it way back in kind of 2012, purely because it bothered me that SEO was getting a little bit too technical.
Sure.
Google was focusing on artificial intelligence and machine learning. And really, it just needed to be something really simple for our clients to understand and for our customers to appreciate.
Yeah, and I think the SEO industry has changed a lot also because the search engines themselves have changed, right? So I remember back in the day, people used to really work on things like keyword stuffing and things like that. But now, just as you mentioned, with machine learning and AI, I think search engines have got much better at recognizing natural language. So it's kind of aligned with what you're saying, that actually great content, human readable content, let's say, has actually also been reflected from the search engine prioritizing that because it's much better at reading it and knowing that it's not just keyword stuffing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we look back on those times as the good old days. We used to be able to get away with white text and white background and all that kind of stuff. But yeah. it was our fault. We were gaming the system and gaming Google's algorithm. Google clamped down on that quite rightly. And it was challenging for traditional SEOs to kind of to switch, but they had to, and they have done. And now it's less cat and mouse and more of a kind of a partnership. Yes, sometimes Google does an update and we're scratching our heads trying to figure out why and what the impact is. But really, their advice always is nowadays is continue to focus on your customers and what your customers want. And the search engine rankings will come. And that is just the approach that we do for all clients. And that's SEO in 2020.
You are also focused quite a bit on e-commerce, right? So I think, how would you differentiate? Or because I think you've laid out very well how you approach SEO. But let's say like we bring it down to e-commerce. Is there anything particular that you have been doing that you find is very helpful for e-commerce in particular?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've just launched, we do a consumer kind of survey every few years. And we ask about 2,000 UK consumers a series of questions on what they like to see when they buy online. So we go into details like payment options, third-party reviews, product descriptions, and really stuff that we think people want but don't really know. And so we just ask consumers, do you think this is valuable? And some of the insights that we've got on the back of it, you know, 27% of people buy on mobile within the first hour. So, you know, there used to be a kind of an idea of, oh, they research on mobile, but they buy on desktop. And there is certainly still an element of that, but the younger demographic, the younger audience, they're a lot more tech savvy. They will buy on mobile within, you know, as soon as they see the product they want to buy. So we need to look at that and say, okay, well, this website is great. It has a lot of content, but when you look at it on mobile, it's really difficult to navigate. The purchase funnel is really challenging for them to kind of buy with one click. And all these things that we, you know, most of the younger audiences take for granted nowadays, every site needs to deliver this level of this efficiency on purchasing.
So now, go ahead.
And these insights feed into our strategy. So like a new client comes on board, the first thing we do is we look at the analytics data. We look at what devices they're predominantly using, what the demographics are, and using our insights and our experience, we then kind of look, okay, well, where the improvements need to be made, and not just on content and that, but also in site structure and how we're actually talking to the customers about the products we're selling.
Sure. It sounds like a lot of the insights which you're getting, you're pretty much bringing into CRO, right? So you're really looking at the funnel and you're trying to streamline it as much as you can based on the behavior you're seeing. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, no, definitely. We see the customer experience. I mean, from an SEO point of view, it takes time to build rankings. You know, we come on board with a client, it's, you know, it's not month one we see an improvement. It's potentially month four, five, and six where we start to see, you know, ranking improvements. So when, especially nowadays where people have choice on who they buy online from, we think if we can get their existing traffic to convert better, one, the client's going to be happy because we look great. Two, our clients' customers are going to be happy because they have a better experience. And so the strategy works really well. So every campaign we work on, and we look at the quick wins we can make in terms of CRO. So we look at the buying funnel, we look at the purchase, and then we take that back and then we work back from that stage. So from there, we look at product descriptions because they're really important nowadays. And then we look at kind of where the traffic is coming from a navigation point of view, and then what devices, and work it back that way. But the benefit of that for our clients and benefit for clients is that they get increased revenue, and then they get increased traffic.
That's really interesting because it sounds like you're taking a very sort of a research-based approach. So for anybody listening on the show right now who runs a store, what would you say would be the top three things that they should focus on right now to improve their conversion?
The challenge we have now, especially in the current climate with COVID-19, is there's going to be a significant increase in new customers coming to a website. People who haven't purchased online that often or are not as tech savvy as their existing client base. And we're seeing that from some of our clients where a whole new demographic are coming online to purchase for a variety of products. And so with that, our data is getting skewed a little bit in terms of bounce rates and time on site and funnel. So for us, the kind of the immediate thing that I recommend clients to do is filter that traffic. Look at new clients and look at existing customers in a separate kind of funnel in analytics and see, okay, your existing clients, they're probably know the website really well. They've probably purchased online a few times. So I wouldn't say ignore them, But if you want to grow and help the kind of the current new Qlite base, I'd look at their data and see if where the kind of the friction points are for them, and see if there's any kind of quick wins you can make to help them improve their experience. And obviously, those new customers will become existing customers over
so
time.
Walk us through how maybe a mini process like that could look. So let's say I've run a site and I've got my Google Analytics set up. Yep. I'm assuming I would just say all my returning customers are the ones who've, who know my site. So maybe I filter for only the new ones. And definitely. So what should I specifically be looking for, and anything that you've seen already that if I see this kind of result, here are the things which I should look at. Is there anything that you can talk us through on that?
Yep. So when we apply the filter in analytics, and there's loads of help guides on how to do that. I won't go into the technical details.
Yeah.
The new customer base, the key elements you're looking at. So you'll have a baseline of information. So your existing client base, their bounce rates will be a certain level, average time on site, and conversion rate. Those are the three core aspects that you need to be looking at. So with your new visitor filters, you then need to look at that and how those figures compare to your baseline. Are they below or above where they need to be on average? Mm-hmm. And if they are, then you need to filter by device. So is it mobile, tablet, or desktop? Mm-hmm. And then look at those kind of areas. So if we apply, we notice immediately there's quite a significant exit rate on a certain page or category for mobile devices, then we need to look about how that page is being formed, how that's been formed to a mobile customer. It may be that your existing clients know if they scroll down, that's where the buy now button is. But obviously a new customer base won't know that. And so they'll land on the page and not really understand what the next step is. And so therefore a potential test from a CRO point of view would be, okay, let's look at creating a sticky call to action button. So it follows the customer. And the exact kind of processes are really similar, but when we look at it, it's that same process. It's trying to find out exactly what device, what landing page, what actual page is having the problem, and looking at then testing a scenario from an A/B or a test to help improve that. And it's very granular, it's very detailed. It can be relatively slow dependent upon your developer's kind of resources, but sure. It can be something that can directly in the short term increase conversions and get your customers working a lot harder.
So I've got a probably sort of a spanner to throw in there, if you will.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the people who'll be listening on this show are primarily small to medium businesses. And yeah. I think the strategies you've talked about clearly require a minimum traffic, right, per day. Because if it's too low, then you don't really get statistically significant data to make these decisions on. So
it can be. The challenge is, and especially with A/B testing technology, you need at least 1,000 kind of visits. But it does depend on what it is you're testing. And when you don't have that development, there are tools where you can ask your customers. There's pop-ups that it can be enabled to, especially most e-commerce platforms, say, look, we see that you exited out of here. Tell us why. Ask the question. Don't be scared to ask your customers, because ultimately what we're trying to do is improve their experience. We're not trying to kind of steal their email address or anything kind of suspicious like that. All we're trying to do is trying to understand why. And that could be something really easily. I think Optimizely has it, and BWO, and some free software that links into platforms like Shopify and Magento and BigCommerce. That they can say, look, you're exiting, can you tell us why? And that, very quickly, even over 10, maybe even 20 visitors, you'll get an understanding of a pattern, especially if you can then correlate that with what your analytics data is telling you. Because the challenge we have is analytics tells you that there's a problem, but you don't know what that problem is until you either test or you ask.
Right. So I mean, we've talked about a lot. So let me just quickly summarize and let me know if you think I've got it or if I've made a It sounds like with the COVID crisis going on, one of the biggest impacts which you think is going to happen is that we're going to have a completely new set of customers, just because you have a whole bunch of people who've never really bought too much online who are now sort of forced to go online to buy stuff. So the question now is, can we track the performance and see if these visitors are as successful on our store as our baseline or not? And the metric to look at would be things like the bounce rate and your conversion rate. And if there isn't, if you do have enough data, so more than 1,000 visits a day, then it might be a good idea to jump onto Google Analytics and filter them and have a look at which pages are the most affected and try to make some improvements there. But if you don't have enough traffic, then it would be good to invest in some kind of pop-up questionnaire of your choice to try to understand from your customers to see if you're doing a good job or not.
That's the approach. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. So I think another thing which, because you mentioned that a lot of people, we're going to have a lot of new people coming to the e-commerce site because of COVID-19. Another thing I've been reading about is that SEO itself is probably going to change. Because you mentioned, for instance, like young people are using a lot more mobile. There's sort of like a theory going around that now that people are spending more time at home, we're going to see desktop usage increase much more, like sort of buck the trend. And this might change the way people actually do their search. Is that something consistent with what you found, or is that, what do you think about that?
At the moment, the data hasn't skewed or changed in any way. Desktop is still, and when we say desktop, we mean laptops as well. It's mm-hmm. It's a technical term that analytics uses. Just to be clear, we haven't seen that shift. I'm sure we will, but that would probably be something very particular to a website, dependent upon the demographic. A younger demographic will always be mobile first.
Right. And it's probably geography specific too, yep. Right? So in the UK, I would assume it would be very different from, I don't know, let's say Nigeria, where you probably have. Yeah. Okay. Definitely. So go ahead.
So for us, I'd certainly say at the moment we haven't seen that, but that is something with the lockdown of announced last night in the UK, mm-hmm. that potentially keep looking at your data. My recommendation would be to monitor it, not daily, but certainly if you start seeing those trends on a weekly basis.
So when we're looking at, now that we've got new customers coming in, and then on the other end, we do expect to see some changes, although, as far as the data concerned, it doesn't seem to have changed too much. I do know that quite a lot of stores who are pure brick and mortar are now trying to go online very quickly, just because there's very little foot traffic. So I know, for instance, Shopify has recently announced they've got a 90-day free trial, as opposed to I think it was 14 days, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot more people coming online. So do you have any specific advice to them who probably not as savvy as they'd like to be, and sort of just by circumstances are literally forced to go online? How would you advise them if they came to you and said, look, we want to get online, what do we do?
Great question. I think do it as cheaply as possible is probably the best way, or the best recommendation. Dependent upon if it's a local kind of shop or store, or it's something that is something that's always been kind of more offline, then really the quickest way is to set up a Shopify kind of minimal product, integrate into PayPal, just keep all costs and integration levels. And then the great thing about solutions like PayPal or Shopify is they integrate really quickly with a few clicks of a button. You can have that kind of gateway already set up. And then from an SEO point of view, it's going to take time to build traffic. And I'll be honest with you, the paid search model potentially could be too expensive.
Right.
The quickest route would be Facebook, would be social. You're already going to have a local following of people that used to come to your shop, mm-hmm. and they're going to be the quickest audiences to tap into. So get the Facebook page set up and integrate your shop with that. And that would be the most cost-effective and quickest route to get online in a short time window that we have.
I think that's great advice, especially because right now I think every business is worried about cash flow. So I think just as much as you're trying to create a new revenue stream, it does make sense to conserve your cash flow to try to really survive. We've seen that in the UK, there's been really good, at least government support, at least I hope so. And I think in different countries, probably it's different. But I think survival is kind of the name of the game right now, would you say?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. The government, it's unprecedented the amount of support that they provided and announced on Friday. And you know, as a business, it's certainly a testing time for us and our clients. So, you know, cash flow is king. And that's something. So there has to be a level of investment, and the free trials that are definitely going to be out there. Use them as quickly and as much as you can. I know Facebook already has a way to get starter vouchers for advertising. Mm-hmm. So again, there's certainly a lot of opportunities to get online. And there are people out there like ourselves who are willing to offer, you know, some free advice during this time for any kind of people that are out there that need that kind of support. You know, there's lots of communities on LinkedIn already offering kind of, we're there to help you. Finding a few of those good ones that are local to a business would be a real valuable resource to them.
Yeah, that's honestly been one of the few, let's say, feel good stories about this time where everyone's really coming together and trying to help each other out. I think it's a really nice, because this could have been gone really badly where everyone just turned on each other. But so far, it looks, at least in the business community, that people are really genuinely looking to help each other out, which is really nice to see.
Definitely. I'm a great believer in karma. We're all in it together. Yeah. It's not like this virus is, you know, it only affects certain people. It affects us all in one way or another. And so by coming together, you know, we come out of it stronger. Things like this and help and support is out there. It's just, we've got to give us a little bit of time to get stuff going and finding this newer way of doing business.
I love it. So now we've talked about sort of like the new entrants of like the brick and mortar stores. What about existing merchants? So people who've already been selling, and I think we could probably broadly divide them, segment them into two. So you probably have a minority of them whose products are quite directly aligned with what people are demanding right now in terms of essentials and things like that. And then you have, I think, the vast majority who just aren't, who are selling sort of things which probably are not so much in demand right now. So let's talk about that second segment. Do you know of any examples of any advice that you have on, you know, what merchants like this should be doing right now, given that probably people aren't searching for the kind of products that they actually offer?
Hold on is kind of the only thing that we can suggest. The luxury brand market for the majority of people is pretty flat at the moment. The benefit of SEO, this could be a great opportunity to analyze your traffic. Can the website, with whatever traffic you're currently getting, can the website be converting better? Can you be offering more to your customers? Can you be potentially pivot in one way? You know, one of our old clients, BrewDog, they've just gone from making alcohol to making hand sanitizer.
Oh, brilliant.
I mean, it's you know, completely, you know, there's opportunities out there that in this current market, that there's certainly ways to kind of stay afloat, if you will. But it's a great opportunity to take stock, and obviously cash flow is king. So you don't want to be investing in new technology and new investment unless you've got that budget already kind of allocated. But really, let's focus on trying to get your existing customer base converting better. So when this is all over and traffic does return, your website's going to be working significantly harder than it did previously. It's the only advice we have, unfortunately. There are certain sectors. I mean, we have a number of travel clients. The benefit of SEO is that it's long term. You know, we're creating content for next year already. Because, you know, this year, very similar to the fashion model, you know, this year's trends are kind of last year's work. Because that's just how the market works. So hopefully when places are lifted and people can go on holiday again, our clients will be top position for all of the primary keywords and have a harder working website. And that's the approach we're taking. We're kind of forgetting all about 2020 and focusing on 2021.
Sure. I mean, at least even from the travel perspective, I think I've already started seeing posts on Facebook where people are saying things like, okay, when the crisis is all over, what's the first country that you'd like to visit? So definitely. Yeah, I think that totally makes sense that you plan for the future. I mean, and you...
We saw it with Brexit, you know, as soon as an announcement was made and whatever you voted for, it was decided, then the travel market, people started booking their holidays. They were fed up. They wanted to, like, let's just go somewhere and get out of it for a while, or let's just buy the house or buy the big purchase we've been holding off. It's that uncertainty that needs to clear. And then as soon as it is cleared, people then realize, okay, well, we need the holiday next year. Everyone's going to need a holiday next year. Let's book it, or let's at least pull a deposit down, or let's at least, you know, do the next step in that process, or research it, or bookmark it, or talk to a travel agent. And it's the same with bigger purchases and luxury goods. It's not a no, it's just a not at the moment.
Excellent. Well, this has been a really good conversation, Steve. I think just sort of like the last question I really have for you so far is, from your clients, are there any sort of stories that you've seen or examples of steps that they've taken that you think are worth sharing to any listeners out here to have some hope on, like, all things that they can actually do?
Yes, we work with a pet supply client, and they've seen unprecedented demand over the last 7 days. And they've taken that time to kind of do the things that we've kind of been holding off for a while. So they focus on conversion rate optimization. The data is a massive improvement. We also have a shoes client that hasn't been affected at all by any of this. Wow. People still need shoes, and year-on-year performance is up, traffic is up, and hopefully that will continue. And the real challenge is logistics, is getting these products to, you know, it's great that everything's gone online, but they're still going to need pickers and packers. And so they still need those people to kind of fulfill the orders. And so far, for this particular client, it's business as usual. The challenges are how they can keep that demand, you know, keep up with the demand at the moment.
Right. So hopefully, if you're listening, you fall into that category where things are still business as usual. But if not, I think you can learn a lot from Steve. So Steve, is there anything you'd like to tell the listeners on how they can get in touch with you?
By all means, you can email me directly at steve@itworksagency.com, or go to the website itworks.agency. Anyone that needs any kind of advice or any kind of support, we're here to help.
Steve, this was really good talking to you. I think you had some really good feedback, and most importantly, I think it was a very positive sort of note that you struck, which I think is very much appreciated in these times.
Definitely, hope so.
You're still here, which means you definitely enjoyed that conversation. This is a special COVID-19 e-commerce miniseries to help small business merchants out there get prepared. We're doing a lot more of these, so be the first to know whenever there's a new episode. Just follow DataCue, that's DataCue, on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Stay safe out there, everybody. Till next time, this is Sharam. We'll be right back.